The stock market gets new life after reports say President Trump may be interested in ending this war soon. The Fargo Police Department gets a new leader, an interim one, while NDSU gets a new school president. And new details of a gruesome murder leave us all wondering, when will this poor family finally get some closure? Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you here on the Steve Holcim Show. And I understand that the storm that's heading our way is going to be something, but not as nasty as maybe it felt like yesterday. At least that's what I'm getting. Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist, is going to be here with us in just about 15 minutes or so. And I'm saying it doesn't sound as bad right here where I'm sitting, but it sounds like this is going to be a whopper for some parts of our listening area. So we'll get the lowdown from Dean. We got a couple of guests joining us on the program today. Ron Ness, president of North Dakota Petroleum Council. WTI crude oil prices as high now as they have been since mid-2022, over $100 a barrel on WTI. What does that mean for the industry here in North Dakota? We'll talk to Ron about that. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to also have a chat with a gentleman who's a portfolio manager for First Premier Bank down in Sioux Falls, and he does a lot of studying, talking, lending, discussing, banking with people all across the Midwest. Josh Astrup is his name. Really good source of perspective. And I've got a little bit of commentary for you today, too, on what I am seeing and what I'm feeling about the economy here for the rest of 2026, the stock market, interest rates, business sector, and all of that. I believe we've reached a point now where what has happened in Iran with the conflict over there now has lasted long enough to fundamentally change what we're going to see from the economy in 2026. Not that it can't still be a good year, and maybe even a really good year, but not the year I thought it might be, because I think we've taken a little bit of wind out of the sails here because this conflict has lasted as long as it has and doesn't really show any signs of slowing down. Doesn't mean it wasn't the right thing to do, and doesn't mean that Donald Trump can't still have a great presidency when it's all considered. But I think it's helpful sometimes to take a look at a snapshot in time and say, what do we make of 2026? So I'm going to attempt to do that a little bit. Would love to hear your thoughts on what I have to say about that as well. A lot of very interesting notes and nuggets and news items to pass along as well. So let's get rocking and rolling here with the Morning Wire semi-automatic storylines as we go rapid fire to run down how things are here as we begin the program on this Tuesday morning. Holy Week is crazy. It is in the news cycle right now. Never want to forget that as well. Blessed Holy Week to all of you. So let's get started here with the almanac. We will gain 3 minutes and 20 seconds of daylight today. It will not get dark where I am sitting here in Fargo today until 7:55 p.m., and I am loving all of this. It really feels different. Yesterday, another great weather day, and we're going to start to kind of turn things down on temps here for a few days, but not bad, still all things considered. Stock market has come flying out of the gate this morning. Dow up 609 points at 45,792. S&P 500 up 103 at 6,447. NASDAQ is up about 400 points as well, 21,210. So we're up between 1.25% and 1.75%. On all these indices here, on hopes that the war will end soon. We'll have more on that for you here in just a moment. Speaking of going up, here's WTI crude oil, 103.14 a barrel right now, as high as it's been since July of 2022. Gold today up $77 an ounce at $4,603. Silver at $73.75 an ounce. That's up $3.18. So silver up almost 5%. This morning. Boy, you want a wild ride. Go trade silver for a while. Bitcoin today has been much more calm. Interesting. Pretty much unchanged from yesterday, $67,000 or so. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas is now over $4 a gallon nationwide, $4.01. That's up 2 cents from yesterday. North Dakota average price $3.43, South Dakota $3.39, Minnesota $3.41, diesel fuel up another couple pennies at 5:45 today. In the news cycle, what's going on in the war in Iran today? Well, Wall Street Journal is reporting that President Trump has told some of his aides that he'd be willing to end the war without having the Strait of Hormuz open. This is causing what I just told you about in the financial markets this morning. There's hope there that the war will end sooner than expected. If oil prices come down, then inflation comes down. Possible interest rate cut or two could still happen this year. War Secretary Pete Hegseth and General Dan Kane had a news conference this morning saying the upcoming days will be decisive in the war with Iran. So they're kind of taking the president's lead and saying, you know, we think we can basically finish these guys off. Hegseth says American firepower is only increasing while Iran's is decreasing. The Minnesota Post says that the backup in the strait is resulting in a backlog of about 3,000 ships, many of which are moving fertilizer components. Nitrogen, we hear that almost more than anything else as far as being impacted there, although phosphate prices have also surged because of the tariffs that the White House has put on Morocco, which holds more than 70% of the world's known phosphate rock. Kansas State University Executive VP for External Engagement, Dr. Marshall Stewart, has been named president of North Dakota State University. Yes, he's about to get a shorter title than the one he has currently. That's a mouthful there. During an on-campus visit last week, Stewart praised the university's land grant status while sharing that if he was offered the position, that he would make sure that every student feels like they'll have opportunities to learn internationally and get an internship. Stewart says he wants to make sure a family or student's income isn't a barrier to tuition. He was named president yesterday after a morning of second interviews up at NDSU. City of Fargo reports WDAY Radio has officially appointed Travis Stefanowicz as the interim chief of police. Stefanowicz has held roles as sergeant, lieutenant, and assistant chief there. He'll take over for the time being for Dave Zabolski, who retired last week after more than 5 years at the helm of the Fargo PD. Court documents say Joshua Height, the man charged with murder in the death of 25-year-old Isadora Wengel, told investigators in a letter where he disposed of her remains, but a search of the location came up empty. Valley News Live reports that on February 12th, he disclosed in a letter exact directions to where he said he left Wengel's remains. That was an address in Underwood, Minnesota, property belonging to the family of one of Height's childhood friends, but Wengel's remains were not found there. Height told investigators most of her remains were wrapped in plastic and placed in a black tote with a red lid, used zip ties to secure the lid, and he said the remainder of Wengel's legs were placed in a garbage bag and disposed of in a dumpster at a beach near a bar in Battle Lake, Minnesota. Her personal belongings and the Sawzall tool were also placed in that dumpster. I read these details not because they're pleasant, but we just need to know what we're really talking about here. And to know that people like this have been walking among us. With the spring softball season beginning, WDAY Radio reports the Trump administration has sued Minnesota and its school athletics governing body. This happened yesterday. It's an extension of carrying out a threat to punish the state for allowing biological males to compete in girls' sports. More than two dozen states have laws prohibiting boys suiting up from the girls and prohibiting sex change surgeries on kids. The suit alleges the State Department of Education and the High School League are violating Title IX, the federal sex discrimination law. I had to rewrite that story because the story that our news team took from Associated Press had a whole lot of vague language and words that have been changed over the last few years, so you can't even hardly understand what you're talking about. So you're welcome. I've interpreted this story so those of us normal human beings can exactly know what we're talking about. Wildfire season has arrived in the region, reports the Forum. You know about Nebraska, but now in Minnesota, thousands of acres have already burned, about 2,000 acres near Camp Ripley by Little Falls, Minnesota. But crews say they are getting control and creating a perimeter there. Much of the state's in a fire danger and under a burn restriction, including Clay, Otter Tail, Wilkin, and Wadena counties. Alpha News reports that Democrats in the Minnesota House have voted down a motion that would have required age verification to view pornographic websites. The bill would require websites where 25% or more of the web pages have pornography, and you'd have to verify that you're 18 or older. Backers say the bill would protect kids. Democrats didn't seem to care. The Supreme Court upheld a similar law in Texas in a ruling last summer. And federal immigration agents arrested at least 4,000 people during Operation Metro Surge, according to new data by the Deportation Data Project. The vast majority were from Latin America. Half were from Ecuador or Mexico. Guatemala had number three in the most, with about 300. 112 were Somali nationals. When we come back, story of the day. A late winter storm headed our way. We'll tell you what to expect in the Bakken, the Valley, and the Lakes with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysock. You don't go anywhere. Need a new garage door or fast, reliable repairs? OnTrack Garage Doors got covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. OnTrack Garage Door, proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values. Quality work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Let them get you on the right track with OnTrack. Call them at 701-793-4246 today. 793-4246 today. Speaking of a team you can trust, our weather office, man, those guys are fantastic. All week long, evenings, weekends, Dean and his team are absolutely fantastic. And I asked Dean to stop by today with this storm system moving in. I don't know, Dean, do we call this a winter storm, a spring storm? I don't know what we call it, but it looks like a mess.
It's going to be one of those spring winter storms, if you will, because it's going to be that heavy, wet, heart attack snow.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, we don't have to worry about the blowing and drifting because it's just too wet and heavy to blow around. I'm trying to put the positive spin on this before I give you the bad news. It's going to come at us in two parts. So we're going to see part one, coming in Wednesday night through Thursday.
So tomorrow night.
Yeah,
already.
Tomorrow. Coming in a little earlier than we originally thought. Uh-huh. And then part two comes in late Friday through Saturday. So there will be a little break on Thursday night into Friday where the road crews will have a chance to clean off before the next round comes. If this all would come at once, it would be a huge, huge mess. So at least this gives the road crews a chance to kind of clean things up before round two comes in. Now, as it starts Wednesday evening, again, your Wednesday evening commute shouldn't be too bad. It might be a little bit slippery, but not too bad. As storm number one comes through Wednesday night into Thursday, we're looking at, and I'm just averaging this out with all our models, about 3 to 5 inches here in the FM area. Storm number two, Friday night into Saturday, probably another 3 to 5 inches of snow. So we're looking at probably 4 to 8 inches. Some of that will melt, so you got to take that into account. About 4 to 8 here in the FM area, and that's averaging all the models together. Now, our Canadian model and our German model only give us round one. They keep that second system well to our south. So if that pans out, which I don't think it will, we'd only get about 3 to 5 inches total for both storms. Now, our European model, which is typically...
She's usually the pretty one, right? The European. We like those European
she
models.
She is, yes. Okay. She shaves her legs and everything. So, The European model is typically the most accurate.
Mm.
Let's hope this time it is not.
Oh.
Because the European model is giving us about 4 to 7 round one and about 4 to 7 round two.
Okay.
Which would be about 8 to 14 inches of snow.
We could. Even on the worst side of it.
But again, I really think this is going to be about a 4 to 8 inch storm.
Okay.
I'll update more. We'll get all of our morning model runs in. And so on our social media this afternoon, I will update with the latest model data that comes in.
Right.
I just took a look at our overnight European model run, and it actually kicked up the snowfall total amounts.
Okay.
So, again, a general 4 to 8 is likely across the FM area. If you're going south, Aberdeen through Sisseton, Fergus, up towards Duluth.
Yeah.
Those areas well over a foot.
Oh, okay.
A foot of heavy, wet snow. So if you're doing any holiday travel, if you're going south, that's where the worst of it is going to be. Now, once you get down towards the cities, they're going to be mainly rain. I think they'll see a little wintry precip. They might see some snow, but the further south you go, the more you're going to run into rain. Once you get on let's say, Sioux Falls to Minneapolis line.
Okay.
That'll be generally rain down there. But, if you're going north towards Grand Forks, out towards Devil's Lake, up towards Thief River, those areas, probably about 3 to 6 inches of snow total with both storms.
Okay, how about the Bakken? What are we expecting out there?
Well, the Bakken area is going to get probably about 2 to 3 inches, 2 to 4 inches, not a lot. Now, you go down in the southwestern corner of the state, south of Williston and Watford City. Those areas could pick up a little more, maybe 4 to 6 inches.
Okay.
You go east of there through Bismarck, you're looking at about 4 to 8, kind of similar to what we're going to have here. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little less in here, but again, we'll see. The wild
card. So it's kind of a north half, south half kind of a storm.
It really
here.
Is. But yeah. The 94 corridor is about as far north as the heavier snow mm-hmm. is going to push. You go north of that, and amounts taper off quite a bit
yeah.
once you get towards the Northern Valley, north central part of the state in northern Minnesota.
Okay.
But it's that second storm is the one that. That I'm kind of concerned about. If that goes south, we'll escape the worst of it. But I think we're going to get clipped by that second storm coming in Friday into Saturday.
How much of a break do we get between phase one and phase two? How long do we get
probably
to scoop out our snow, our sidewalks here?
So at least the first half of Friday. So I'd say a good 6-7 hours of a break in the action before the second storm.
So
hits.
Maybe a chance to, if you're going for the weekend, maybe an opportunity to drive Friday morning, early afternoon. Because if we get 3 to 5 inches, whatever, that's not
going
to prevent you from driving anywhere.
Now, again, south, they will get heavier amounts south. But so if you're going south down 29 or out towards Aberdeen, down towards Sioux Falls, it's going to be tricky. But you will get that window where, again, the road crews will have a chance to kind of clean things up before round two comes in.
Cold, windy, what are we looking at as far as temps and wind?
Temps will be in the low to mid-30s. That's why it's going to be that heavy, wet snow.
Okay.
Winds will be a little windy on both storms. We're looking at 15 to 30, nothing too bad.
Okay.
And again, this is going to be that heavy, wet snow. We won't have to worry too much about this blowing around.
Okay. But if you said you get into, you know, down South Dakota and then over into Lakes Country up toward the Arrowhead, and it might be tough to get around for the weekend.
It's going to be very, very tough. Yeah.
Okay.
I could see some of those areas getting 12 to 15, 18 inches of snow.
Oh, my friends out in Grand Rapids would love that. They're that way.
Yeah.
They like the snow.
Oh,
they
yeah.
like the sled and the ice fishing, so they'll take
it. And a lot of people say, well, okay, we need the moisture. The farmers really don't. We're not in drought conditions here. And like you said earlier, it's calving season, so we don't really need that heavy, wet snow during calving season here. But the good news is out of all this, too, is I'm seeing by next Thursday, we're back in the 50s.
Okay.
So this will melt.
So we'll
this should melt
out.
Off pretty quick.
Yeah. I want to ask you quick. I've only got about a minute left here, but the fire's going on out toward like Little Falls in Minnesota. Mm. We knew Nebraska was getting hammered with wildfires, but I guess Minnesota's real dry too, and there's a lot of fires going on.
It
a 2,000-acre fire.
It is. Now, this system will help.
Okay.
This is going to bring a lot of moisture to most of the state, most of Minnesota.
And didn't they get it just a couple weeks
they
ago?
They really, yeah.
Well, why is it wildfires going on?
Good question.
On? This is weird.
There have been drought conditions in parts of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So not bad drought conditions, but, you know, abnormally dry to, you know, that D1 drought category. So, but this next system coming in will definitely help in that category.
Very good. Dean, appreciate it very much. Thanks so much.
You got it.
You'll be here with us all week to keep us posted.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. And
Thank you, like I said, we'll
update on our social media online as we get the new model data that comes in.
Okay, bud. Appreciate you, Dean.
You bet.
The one and only Dean Wysocki, Chief Meteorologist here at Fieldstone Group. We appreciate him and all the good work that he does for us, the McKenzie County Farmer and KTGO. He's the best, that Dino. When we come back, what does $100 oil, WTI oil, mean in North Dakota? Well, we're going to find out from a guy who knows. Ron Ness will be with us, President of North Dakota Petroleum Council. That's next on the Steve Alstrom Show. 701-271-1100. That is our phone number, the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast, now offering counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment and get in this week at valleychristian.co. I am coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a beautiful, new, or nicely pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. We are pleased to be joined on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line right now by Ron Ness. And Ron, a friend of the program, been fortunate to get his perspective many times here over the last few years with key information and updates and perspective on what's happening with oil and natural gas here across our state, and we're pleased to have him back again. Hello, Ron. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing well.
Great to hear your voice again, Ron. I hope things are good with you and your family as well on this Easter week, and thanks for making some time for me here today. Well, I guess the obvious question is WTI price Let me refresh my screen right now. 102.64. Good news or bad news for North Dakota?
Well, I think it's certainly, you know, artificial price inflators like wars and like this are hard to predict. They're hard to measure. And I don't think it necessarily $103 doesn't hurt North Dakota. It hurts us in terms of some of the input costs and everything we do, fertilizers and you know, gas prices going up a little bit rapidly. I don't know what they are in Fargo. I didn't look in Bismarck today, but I think nationwide over $4. That's a drag on our economy. But you know, certainly from a standpoint of the state of North Dakota and all of us as citizens of North Dakota, we know that the state of North Dakota relies heavily on oil and gas taxes, and when oil goes over $100, there's a lot of taxes being collected today. So on a regular day, we're about $8 million a day of tax collections from oil production in North Dakota. So you can anticipate that is up substantially, and there were a lot of budget concerns going into the second half of 2026. But I think on the bigger term, we've got to look at this. And I just watched Nikki Haley was on Fox News this morning with Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino. And Steve, that is worth going back and watching. She's kind of been off the radar for, I don't know, 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. She went through all the metrics of the world, and this matters to Russia and China, and China's watching what, you know, the other Asian countries are doing and where they're going to get their energy and how this can open up things. And, you know, it's one of those jobs, and she said it very clearly, that this is one of those jobs you have to finish and you have to do it right. And all of us are just really all just watchers of this whole process and what's ever going on. But the reality is that she said this could be for the first time in our history, certainly, you could see some significant peace or change in the dynamics of the Middle East, and, you know, putting the pressure on these other countries to step in and understand their role of energy in it. But the most fascinating thing about all of it is, you know, going back to the world wars and where we are, and we look at, it's all about energy. And then you look at New Zealand, you know, we're talking about $4 gasoline here, but New Zealand actually gets their refined products out of Asia. And if there's no ships taking crude oil into Asia, the last place they're going to send refined products is in New Zealand. So you could be looking at an all out no refined product going into a country like New Zealand. Can you imagine the economic turmoil there? So,
yeah.
You know, the whole world needs to stand up, pay attention, support the big policies. And then at the same time, I saw a talk yesterday about how Daniel Yergin was talking about how ridiculous it is that, you know, every night, since there's no pipelines in most of New York and New York City, they've got to bring LNG across the harbors from New Jersey into Manhattan to basically energize New York City for the following day. And of course, they still use home heating fuel. And so, you know, we've got big problems in our own country in terms of understanding the importance of energy infrastructure. And of course, as we all know, you know, energy dominance or energy security is American security. So it's a critical role this all plays. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, Ron, I thanks for the rundown. A lot of really good stuff there. One of the just thoughts that jumps through my mind really quick is we know how important this industry is to our state, no question about it. And while none of us likes to see oil prices jump because we know it's coming to the gas pump, it does occur to me that maybe there's a sliver of value here to knowing that if for whatever reason, geopolitically, if oil surges, all of a sudden times are good again. Am I overthinking this a little bit by saying that maybe if something like this every once in a while is a sacrificial lamb will throw on the pile here to keep an industry engaged and interested in North Dakota?
Well, certainly, you know, we didn't feel there was much upside in the world of oil. And, of course, along with the price of oil goes the price of ag commodities. We all know that. They are tied at the hip. So, unfortunately, gas prices and chemical prices and fertilizer prices rise, but commodity prices rise as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but from a producer standpoint, I don't care if you're making soybeans or oil today, you're thinking about, you know, the longer term and the stability going forward. So it's really, you're trying to outthink, outlast, outrun the long-term investment, because these are big investments. Yeah. If you're an oil producer today, you're one of the 300,000 mineral owners of North Dakota oil and gas minerals. Your check's gonna be bigger. You're gonna have a better return on your barrel of oil today, because it is world price, and you get paid today what the world price is, not what it was worth 10 days ago. You get paid what it's worth today. So, they're certainly, North Dakota is one of those states where there's an upside for higher energy oil, specifically oil prices. Because we do benefit greatly from it. I think, as I said, the ag commodities follow oil prices, you know, but we've got to think further ahead than just the next 5 weeks, the next 5 months. This is thinking out what the price reaction going to be. And that's why I don't like spikes too high. I thought when oil had settled back into the, you know, into the high 80s or so, boy, that was a spot where, you know, everybody can, it doesn't really drag the economy, but Isn't it amazing how reactive the national media is to energy prices? The lines at the certain airports go down today, and now they're on to energy prices,
yeah.
And
oh,
how
yeah.
that's going to affect the price of homes and cars and everything else. So it's a big portion of what we all daily life for all of us.
Yeah, and anything that might make Donald Trump look bad, they will pivot to that in a nanosecond. We all certainly know that too. So if you got typically WTI prices that are elevated, it's going to trigger some kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say a frenzy, but there'll be more drilling. I'm assuming that most of the producers are looking at this as a short-term event and not ramping up at breakneck speed, or am I wrong?
No, you're spot on, Steve. What you look at, if you're an oil producer or you've got grain in the bin, when price goes up, you make sure the wells that you have are producing. You might do some repairs that you wouldn't have done at $60 oil. You bring on some workover crews. You try to change out your pumps. You do those things. You might haul grain out of some bins. You do those things, but you don't go out and you know, buy the section of land next to you, or in this case, go out and start putting up drilling rigs and drilling $8 to $10 million wells that are going to take you, you know, 10 to 18 months to, you know, recoup your money if they're successful wells. So, what you do is you just really, you start thinking about how long this can last and how the economics will play. And you'll start to see a couple of companies in Texas where the economics are so prolific right now might stand up an extra drilling rig, and then everybody else will see how the market reacts and how the shareholders react to that,
mm-hmm.
and you'll start making decisions. But you're really taking short-term actions that can increase your production of oil quickly within the existing investment that you've made.
I have a bunch of other questions I'd love to ask you, but I wouldn't be doing my job today if I did not bring to our audience something that you told me yesterday when we were setting this up. April 4th is the 75th anniversary of the discovery of oil in North Dakota. What a game changer that's been for our state, Ron.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. I kind of forgot about it this morning, but yes, this Saturday, 75 years since the discovery of oil. And of course, there's been an oil and gas well drilled in every state in North Dakota, except one, and that's the one just north of you up by Hillsboro and up in that area. So it's amazing, as oil was, you know, people started looking for oil and gas in the 20s, and it was finally produced, you know, just south of Tioga, North Dakota, 1951. It was national news. It was world news. But you think about the significant impact of what that's done to our state in terms of just really population-based and giving us another sector of our economy that you know, people can, especially as farming and ranching have changed, you need less and less people. You think where we would be without oil and gas today. And of course, you know, the late 70s, the early 80s, incredible. But obviously this Bakken boom is you see world news today and they start talking about all the shale oil play. In 2007 is when we went from 56% reliance on foreign oil to turning that diamond. Now we are the energy dominant country in the world. And all that started right here in North Dakota in 2007 as we got better and better. And production really took off in 2009, 10, 11, 12. Surpassed a million barrels a day. And I believe in 13, you know, up from 90,000 barrels a day in 2008. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's a 10-fold increase in a matter of years. And through the downturn of the U.S. economy, the world economy, frankly, in 2009, 2010, all that investment came here. We were very fortunate to be able to attract that. But it's an amazing story of 75 years and one that we're certainly going to celebrate this weekend, but we're also going to celebrate it at the Williston-based Petroleum Conference in May in Bismarck.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to dedicate a day to that because it's a fascinating part of American history, of North Dakota history, and we've all got to be front and center for all these discussions today. We do matter in the world of energy, what we do in North Dakota.
Very good. Ron, thank you very much for taking the time. Great to visit with you again. Happy Easter to you and your family. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Steve. Have
Take
a great
care.
Day.
You
Happy
too.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Ron Ness, president of the North Dakota Petroleum Council. And how lucky are we to have an administration, former Governor Burgum, leading the charge on the interior as well to make that a product that is valued and not vilified across our country. It's a wonderful thing. When we come back, I did not see a war coming, and it's changing my level of optimism for 2026 in a few ways. We'll talk about that next. What if you could fix your smile in one day? Well, my friend Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center can help you with that. DakotaImplant.com is their website. Advanced training, modern technology make new options possible. You can get the whole thing planned out with ultimate precision before you even set foot in the office there. Efficient, predictable results for many patients. And if you've been told it'll take forever, get a second opinion. Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Smile like you mean it. DakotaImplant.com. Get that smile back where it should be. A couple things I want to get to before the top of the hour. One is a little commentary for you here, and I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I do follow a lot of things fairly closely, and every once in a while I will kind of just have one of those light bulb moments when I say, okay, we've reached a point right now, and I would say that that's where I'm sitting at today, where I feel differently about something than I have. So I want to share that with you. So I believe what I'm seeing and hearing, from what I'm seeing and hearing, that while 2026 is still going to be a positive year for the country, the war in Iran's gotten to a point now where it will negatively affect the U.S. economy and the consumer in some way. What we all hoped would be a 30-day war is now going to be at least 60, and from the sounds of it, we won't have this thing wrapped up by the time the Congress needs to approve the continuation, so the 60-day limit's going to hit. Elevated gas prices are inflationary. There's just no other way to get around it. And they've been persistent enough now to expect inflation to show up in the PPI and CPI numbers for the next 2 to 3 months minimum and likely the next 3 to 4 months. Basically, every product you see on your shelf now at this point is now affected by the rise in fuel prices in one way or shape. So this encroaches into the midterms enough to say it's not going to be a help for Republicans. When Trump got elected, the markets jumped. They know that Republican leadership is good for business and Democrat leadership is much shakier. So if more Democrats get elected by this in November and swings the congressional balance, well, markets are going to be skittish for the rest of the year, potentially over the next 2 to 3 years. Business optimism runs on interest rates. Consumer optimism runs on gas and grocery prices. And we've now reached a point where both things, to me, feel more neutral than positive. Neutral. I didn't say a crash. I didn't say we're all falling apart. Things could change, certainly, in the next few weeks. The president calls off the dogs today. The stock market rallies. And we may have enough time to sort of swallow and digest all this. It could be done tomorrow, but that would lead me to ask a lot of tough questions about the president's thought process on this war. It's very possible this war needed to be fought right now. I get that. I don't know, and probably you don't either. I'm not saying there won't be some good stretches in our economy, the stock market, interest rates. I'm not saying there won't be some good points, but everything I saw on December 31st, told me that 2026 was going to be a banner year, a very strong year for the economy, the consumer, the market. And my sense is now it will be a decent year, but not the bull run that I thought that we would see. I think we have reached that point now in this war. So I want to share that with you. You can weigh in on that if you see it differently. Would love to hear from you. I love a good debate from people that want the truth out there. So give me a call, 701-271-1100. I did see a note, and I've got a couple emails on this over the last couple weeks or so, about Alberta, Canada, doing an independence referendum. And I saw a social media post from an account called The Rise of Alberta. I don't know anything about it, so I'm going to give you that disclaimer. It's from social media, so I don't know what the agenda is, and I don't even know if I can tell you what the facts are. So I did a little research on what we know about this particular movement. As of late March, so just a couple of days ago, organizers of the petition called Stay Free Alberta, it's an independence petition, which they're basically wanting to secede from Canada. They have now, according to their own press release, more than 175,000 signatures, and that's 10% of the voters from the 2023 general election. And so they say they've got enough signatures now to put this on a ballot and have a vote of people in Alberta. So I did a little digging, a little further digging on this. Now, here's a couple of other notes you need to know about this. The Secretary of State, if you will, of Alberta has not yet verified the signatures, so it's not a done deal yet. And the petition remains open until May 2nd. So likely some will get thrown out, but likely they will get a few more. And only after that verification is done can the petition be considered successful. Now, there's already a referendum scheduled for October 19th. It was set to cover other topics like immigration and constitution reform there. But the premier, Danielle Smith, has indicated that if the independence petition is successful and verified, that she will include it on the October 19th ballot alongside the government's questions. And the question will be, do you agree that the province of Alberta should cease to be part of Canada and become an independent state? Isn't that interesting? So I also learned from CJOB Radio that even if a referendum happens and a yes vote wins, it does not automatically mean that Alberta becomes independent. Under Canadian federal law, the House of Commons has to determine if the question was clear and if a clear majority voted in favor before any negotiations for secession could begin. Very interesting. Recent polling states that support for independence is about 30% right now. So interesting stuff right there. All right, hour one of the books, hour two, the key three, coming up next. Hour number two, the Steve Alsham Show, brought to you by Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less, you buy a car, truck, or SUV. And if you're looking for a new job, well, how about this? If you're a service tech down at Vision Ford Lincoln, you're making more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. Great place to work. And if you're in the sales world, why not make some good money just helping people find cars, trucks, and SUVs that they're looking for? Go to drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com, and you'll be able to find out more about all of those good things in addition to all the fantastic vehicles they have on the lot. All right, seven past the hour here as we get rolling into hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show. And pleased to be bringing to you in this hour of the program a guest that we... I don't remember the last time we had Josh Aistrup on, but Josh is a really good source of perspective on what's happening in the Midwest economy. He is a portfolio manager at First Premier Bank down in Sioux Falls, but a great source of regional perspective. We're going to have him on here coming up in just a little bit. So we'll be doing that here real soon. Before I get into the key three most consequential stories in the news cycle today, let's go to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Dana from Bismarck is on the line, and he wants to talk today. Hi, Dana.
How are you doing there, Steve?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Yeah, good. Isn't it something? Now Canada wants to be true also, or free also. It's spreading throughout the world everywhere. They're tired of the tyranny. That I love it.
Yeah, so I saw that there's about 5 million people in Alberta, and they are going to get, you know, about 200,000 signatures, and they're saying 30% of the people when they've been polled have said that they wouldn't mind, you know, being their own country. So they've still got a ways to go there. It's not like it's an overwhelming likelihood. And it's one thing to say that you want it, but then when you really think about, okay, what does it mean to not have a federal government behind you for, you know, national defense and other things, it gets a little tricky. So it still seems like a long shot to me, but the fact that they've gotten this far with it is certainly noteworthy.
Well, there's no doubt about it that they have just as much ability as the people that are leading them now. Mm-hmm. And as far as the military, they've never had one to speak of anyway. So, I mean, it's good. People want to stand up and do their own thing instead of be controlled by the same old thing for mm-hmm. centuries and centuries. So, yeah, let it happen.
We'll see what happens.
But I was going to say, you know, Trump's doing so much over there in Iran, and, like, I'm watching Fox right now, too, and he's telling the rest of the world, you get your own oil. If you don't want to help us, go take care of yourself, you know, and, you know, mm-hmm. quit sitting on your butt and doing nothing. It's good. And I was going to say about Ron, you know, and I'm not trying to bash anybody or anything like that. This is just my perspective on it. And we got all this natural gas to make fertilizer for our farmers, and farming is the number one industry in this state. It always has been. So take this stuff and take care of our farmers and bring their prices down, and then export what you got left out and mark it up if you want. That's your prerogative. Same with the oil. But we got to start taking care of ourselves. And like Trump just said, if you need oil, buy it from us. Well, that doesn't mean that you jack the price to $200, $300 a barrel so you can maximize your profits on the stock market. And then, you know, everybody here pays the big price to cover it. They got to start caring about our people here. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. Dana, thanks for giving a call. Always a good perspective. Appreciate you giving us a call today. That opens up a phone line for you if you want to join in the conversation today. Add to what Dana just said, 701-271-1100. We'll get you into the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. All right, let's get to the key three. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. The first story is a poll, and I know that a number of us get the heebie-jeebies when we say, here's a survey about something. But I can generally, I generally have a sense, it's not perfect, but generally it's fairly tuned to when there's a poll that is controversial and one that's not. And generally, a lot of them, it just means, is it a poll that seems like it makes any sense at all to me? And I've been right more than I've been wrong on this. Not perfect. But Harvard University and Harris Polling, they've been around the game for quite some time. Don't know their track record, you know, how often they're right, how often they're wrong, but they've been doing it for a long time. They polled 2009 registered voters across the country and said, are you for or against the Save America Act being passed into law before the 2026 midterm elections? 59% of the people said that they are for this poll, or before they are for the Save America Act being passed here before the midterms. 41% said they were against. When you get 60% in a poll like this, to me, I feel like that might be a floor. And the number may be higher than that. We've heard that this is actually a 70-30 issue, but at least in this one, it's a 60-40 issue. Another piece of evidence that Americans all across the country of all different shapes and sizes and backgrounds and colors and races and religions, they want to know that their vote matters. And if you're a Democrat or Republican, you should feel the exact same way. I know there are Democrats out there that feel like Trump has stolen the election once, maybe even twice. Well, good. Then you should want this too. And these numbers continue to bear that out. And yet, for some reason, we cannot get this done. And the big reason, of course, is you need seven Democrats to come across, and they won't do it. They will not do it. Even John Fetterman says, I'll go for a voter ID, but not all this other stuff you got in Save America Act. But I thought that was interesting. Among independents, it's plus 10, 55-45 they want this. Democrats do not want it. They're 2-1 against, 64 against to 36-4. Republicans, 83% for, 17% against. Isn't that something? One side wants accurate voting that we can trust, and the other side does not by a 2-1 margin. Thought that was interesting. Story number two, Alpha News with this one. The Department of Justice announced a lawsuit yesterday against Minnesota and the state's high school sports league for allowing boys to compete in girls' sports. Alpha News is the only story where they write this where I can understand it. They're talking about boys competing in girls' sports. Thank you for that. The Department of Education, the high school league, according to the lawsuit, have engaged in sex-based discrimination by requiring girls to compete against boys in sports competitions. And in doing so, they have openly defied Title IX, which prohibits sex-based discrimination in any education program or activity that receives federal funding, the DOJ said in a press release. This comes on the same day that we are also noting that Minnesota Democrats in the state house have voted down a motion that would have required age verification for porn websites, that you would have to verify that you're 18 or older. They don't want any part of any of this. And to this I say, the more I watch the liberal movement, the more I'm struck by just how gross these people are. They're just gross. They go after us for what? We want to take out terrorist dictators? We want accurate elections? That's the evil that we bring? Meanwhile, they're fighting to the death to let kids get porn online, and Lee Finke telling us how gay porn can help teach young people good sex technique. They invade church services, make you take their vaccines. All the vile language you see at these rallies, all the F-bombs, all the hatred, and we're the bad people here? Want your girl to be able to step in the batter's box against a guy and take a swing at that? We say, no, that should be a girl out there on the mound, not a biological male. Because our kid might get beamed in the head, who knows what else. And we're the bad people here. Interesting. Finally, speaking of young people, this might be just a little self-serving, but hopefully you'll put up with me here. Radio continues to be that medium that you just can't kill. They've been predicting the demise of radio forever, but it just never seems to happen. A new study out by Westwood One shows that 63% of people age 18 to 34 in our country, when they get in the car, they're listening to radio. 63%. It's not the podcast. It's not the Spotify. It's not all those other things. 2 out of 3 people ages 18 to 34 are putting on the radio in the car and the truck. How about that? Radio's not going anywhere. And in fact, if you look at these numbers, it's getting stronger. The older age groups are a little bit less than that. 18 to 49 is 58%. 25 to 54 is 57. 35 to 64 is 53. It's the young people. Apparently going back to church and going back to the radio. I think it's a wonderful thing. When we come back, best thing I heard all day. That's next. Here's another little interesting radio nugget I just got in my inbox. When you take a look at the number of radio stations across the country, do you know what the fastest growing segment is among radio stations as far as format goes? It's religion, and it's not the music, it's teaching. Like religious education, you know, just pastors talking about things that they've been seen in their life, and, you know, like you might hear in a church service. I think we have a couple here in town in the Fargo market. But anyway, if you go back to last year at this time, there were about 2,098 religious teaching stations across the country. This year, there are right about now 2,171. So they've gained, what is that, about 80, something like that, over the last year. And there are, man, there's not that many other formats that have grown. Year over year, talk has stayed right about the same. Country still is like the second leading format, but that's down 28 stations from last year. If you take a look at the top four categories of how the most numerous format, or how many stations have that format. The top four are religion, teaching, and then two is country, three is news talk, and four is contemporary Christian. So I'm kind of encouraged about that, that really when you look at religion of teaching, country is, yeah, it's kind of more, kind of faith and family and freedom, right, in the country game mostly. News talk surely is. I mean, you can't find a liberal talk station out there. There's just not that many people that want to listen to that. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. If you go by like National Public Radio in Minneapolis, they're kind of that way. And contemporary Christian. So there's just a whole lot of God when it comes to radio. I thought that was interesting. So I wasn't trying to, do a pep rally for radio here today, but a couple things just popped across my desk that I thought were interesting. Okay. So it is time for us to go to Best Thing I Heard All Day. This was something that happened. I teased this yesterday, but then we had a bunch of calls came in. I wasn't able to get to it, so we're making good on it here today. Apparently, this happened about a month ago. I did not hear it at the time, but I heard over the weekend. I said, this has got to be Best Thing I Heard. So President Trump was appearing at the National Prayer Breakfast. And the president started talking about something that he wanted to do for the country, a rededication to God. And he even had an idea for how to all make it happen. And these were his words. This goes about a minute and a half. These were his words about that. And I thought this was really interesting.
To support this exciting renewal this morning, I'm pleased to announce that on May 17th, 2026, that we're inviting Americans from all across the country to come together on our national mall to pray, to give thanks, and to we are going to do something that everyone said, like, that's tough. We're going to rededicate America as one nation under God. You know, a lot of people... Thank you very much. That's what I mean by the spirit. It's so incredible to see it. I see it so much. I've never seen anything like it in 1 year. I thought it would take 2 years, 3 years, 4 years to be where we are. We've done it in, I mean, really 10 months. We're 12, but now it's just getting to a level that we've never reached before as a country. But that includes religion. I mean, and maybe that's part of the reason that we're doing so well.
There's Bingo.
Such great spirit. It's all spirit, and it includes religion. I've always said, you just can't have a great country if you don't have religion. You have to believe in something. You have to believe that what we're doing, there's a reason for it. There has to be a reason for it. We're all working, and we're behaving. I mean, I behave because I'm afraid not to, okay? Because I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, the president. Okay, so look, I'm not going to tell you that Donald Trump is going to be the next evangelist that's going to be joining Nick Hall on the evangelism trail. I don't know where the president stands, but the president, at least for people of faith in this country, is at least making us feel like we're welcomed here and that what we believe is valuable to this country. And I can't say that for, 12 of the last 16 years before Trump's second term, I can't say that I believed that that was the case. And like I say, I don't know where the president is at. I don't know if he has a faith story or not. I've heard people say that he does, but there's a lot of, we want people to be who we want them to be, and maybe people get a little carried away with that. But the president is doing way more than he has to. I told you at the inauguration that the day before of the big ceremony, he had a big pep rally out there. And, man, there was an hour and a half of that rally. The rally maybe lasts, I don't know, 3-4 hours. But it was an hour and a half of it was Christian music and speakers, Girls Gone Bible that just, I mean, it wasn't a surface-level stuff. It was serious. In-depth, passionate praise and worship. And that didn't happen without the president saying, this is what I want to have happen, and I'll take it. I'll take it. I don't understand how God works, but is there an appreciation for religion? No question about it. Is there an implied acceptance of it or an overt acceptance that we didn't have before? Absolutely. And look at what's happened. I just told you about radio formats, which ones are growing and the, what are the biggest ones. We talked about the number of kids going to church. The Catholic churches now are saying that, hey, you know, we have a huge return to the Catholic faith among our young people here. And I don't know what all this means. I don't know where it's going to end up. I don't know where it's going, but it seems to me very clear that God is moving in our country. And forget about what you see on the TV and the news and the award shows and whatever and all the, you know, the marches going on and no kings and everybody hates Trump and it seems so dark. It seems that way. But, boy, when you look at the numbers, you look at what's really happening behind the scenes, there's a lot of light that has been turned on in this country. And I just love every second of all of this. And I thought that was worth it. So the president, May 17th, 2026, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., part of the 250th anniversary of the country. And the president says this is going to be something that will start out a year of celebration and rededication. And this comes, you know, hundreds of years after Continental Congress back in 1776 called for a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. So there's some symbolism behind that day, May 17th, that took place 1776 and now in 2026 as well. I did a little digging on this to find out what I could find out. It's expected to include large-scale prayer and worship from various religious leaders, the formal rededication of the nation as one nation under God. And there's an initiative called America Prays that has been started by some people in the White House as well. So it's an open access gathering, National Mall there. It's going to be free to attend, and there's no tickets. So it's just, you know, come to the big yard party right there. And so maybe it's something you want to start making plans for on your calendar. Steve Alstrom Show back after this. They got some great home-cooked food at PetroServe USA. And what's better than a home-cooked meal? A good price on a home-cooked meal. Lunch specials today at PetroServe USA at the Valley City Store. Hot beef sandwich, Harwood chicken pot pie, West Main Avenue, meatloaf or cheese ravioli Alfredo. They've got the beef stew today at the 12th Avenue Store. Tater tot hot dish in Yulin. Beefy noodles on 45th. At Castleton today, spaghetti and meatballs. In Glendon, the country fried steak, and in Wappen, the taco, mac, and cheese. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. 32 past the hour, pleased to be joined now on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line by Josh Astrup. And Josh is a guest on the program every once in a while when it seems like we need a good voice on the Midwest economy and what's happening here. We give a call to Josh, and thankfully he's got a little time for us here today. He is a portfolio manager at First Premier Bank. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here today. Well, the markets have come shot out of a gun here this morning. The Dow at one point was up more than 500 points, and we're sitting right now up 439. So S&P 500, NASDAQ are all up as well. It's been an interesting last couple of weeks or so because it seems like this market is just desperately looking for some good news. And even when the president kind of hints that maybe something could possibly happen, potentially, the markets soar, which is what we're seeing today. And then it seems like the, you know, the kind of the reality sets in. It could be a while and things go down a little bit. What are you noticing about the way the market is reacting and what can we make of that going forward?
Well, there certainly can be a lot of volatility in the short run. And I think right now we're kind of in what would be considered more of a news-driven cycle. As you mentioned, you know, based on what President Trump says, the market can react extremely in one way or the other. And that's fairly common in the short run that you do see market volatility based on the news cycle. Whereas over the longer term, you tend to see much more of the fundamentals kind of work their way through and hopefully help the markets grow over time.
I was sharing with our audience this morning a theory that I have, and I want you to poke holes in it if you would, because it always makes for better radio when we poke holes in where the hose is going. But my thought is we've kind of reached that point now, I feel like, whatever we're seeing for inflation from higher oil slash gas prices, which is, of course, how everything gets to the store, we probably have reached that point now where it feels like inflation is going to be a persistent problem here for the next maybe 3 to 4 months. It's going to take a while for all these goods that are being shipped around to work through the system, to get lower prices, to get kind of inflation back to where it was before the war started. And because of that, I feel there's just enough kind of lasting collateral damage in the economy that it might still be a good year, but maybe not quite the bullish year that I thought we might have in 2026. I just feel like this has gone on long enough, and it doesn't really show signs of ending anytime soon. So how do you feel about it? Am I completely off on that, or am I somewhat on the right track, you think?
I think you are on the right track, Steve, depending on how you look at it. You know, there's a couple ways you can look, whether you're looking at it from the focus of the economy roaring and doing well, or from the stock market roaring and doing well. And those are obviously two different things.
Yes.
I think our economy is poised to do very well. When you look at the permanent extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the talk of tax refunds being higher than usual, which should help offset some of the pain of those higher energy prices. So the economy seems to be in a good position from that perspective. However, we do have various aspects of it where we do have consumer credit at an all-time high from a debt perspective. We do have those higher prices that kind of lingered from 2022 that are still persistent in some areas. So the economy overall is doing well, but there are certain pockets that may be struggling. From a stock market perspective, it does seem like we're poised to have a positive year when we look at, again, the tax cuts going through, very supportive policies. The stock market is forward-looking, and so it's looking beyond what we're seeing currently with some of the geopolitical tensions in the Middle East. And so I think the market should be poised to do fairly well. I do think you are on the right track with it being a bit more muted just from the standpoint of we are in a midterm election year, and that usually tends to be rather negative the first half of those midterm years. And then once we have some certainty after the election, the markets historically do tend to perform very strong going into the end of the year. It'll just depend on how strong that may be.
Yeah, and it's a really good point that the stock market is really different. We think about stock market and economy as kind of tied together, but they certainly move independently. All you need is just a little bit of hope and the stock market takes off. And the economy, meanwhile, is what really happens at the ground level as everything starts coming together. Another one of my theories that I have, Josh, I'd like your thought on a little bit, is that it seems to me that the business community, and I heard somebody on CNBC say this yesterday, I forget who it was, but the entrepreneurs, the business owners, and the business growth and expansion, that's really dependent on interest rates, whereas consumers are dependent on gas and groceries. So when it comes to interest rates, the fact that we've got an inflationary environment right now is kind of pushing back some of that hope that we might still see interest rate cuts this year. If things are inflationary, you don't start cutting rates there. Is there still enough time if this comes together in the next month or so where this war winds down? Is there still time for us to see inflation cool down to the point where the Federal Reserve, maybe under new leadership, might seek to take rates down once or twice yet this year?
It certainly is likely that as we do see a new Fed chairman come in, that we will see more of a shift towards looking at the continuation of reducing rates. However, I always think it's important to keep in mind with any time we do a rate change at the Fed level, whether it's a decrease or an increase, it normally takes anywhere from 10 to 12 months for that rate change to fully work its way into the economy. So even if we do get a new Fed chairman, let's say at the May meeting, and we do see a cut or two later this year, the full effect of that wouldn't be seen probably until into 2027. But we do have some room for that because inflation should start to cool a bit once we get these Middle East tensions kind of quelled, where we'll see energy prices come down, and then that will start to flow its way through. But it's unlike a light switch, the stock market seems to be, that will flip on a news story. The economy takes a little bit longer for those things to digest and work their way through.
Yeah, good point again there. I want to ask you what you're hearing through the farm economy. We know that input costs are high. We know commodity prices have been low, and the president's trying to do some things to help out. And we saw in the big gathering he had the other day that some things, especially like some DEF requirements on machinery, that's going to change. trying to help producers with some temporary payments, that kind of a thing. As you talk to people in the farm community, is the optimism or is the mood generally positive, negative, or kind of neutral right now?
Well, this time of year, it's always challenging as we're looking into, getting out and getting in the field and getting started for the year. I think there's a lot of cautious optimism. One of the things that always pops up is the uncertainty. And as you mentioned, we've got some concerns going on now with the extremely high input costs between diesel hitting recent highs, the cost of fertilizer. But then also we have some weather issues with the severe drought that we've had. The real dry areas has led to some fires, a little bit further south and west of the region. And so there's lots of concerns out there, but there is optimism with some of those policies hopefully helping to bridge some of those gaps. But I would say overall it's probably more on the tepid side, more so than overly optimistic.
Chrissy Noem obviously rose to great heights, the South Dakota governor, and then a position in the administration, reassigned, but still has a position, a key one, in the White House there. She was one of the greatest evangelists for South Dakota. We saw the ads where, move your business to South Dakota, and the Dakota is a great place to do business. And we've kind of heard some things anecdotally, since you're kind of in the belly of that beast down there in Sioux Falls. Has that kind of... has that lasted, that momentum? Are you still seeing businesses looking at Minnesota for growth and then looking across the border into South Dakota and going, man, things might be better over there? What's the feeling down there?
We are seeing significant growth still, particularly in the Sioux Falls metro area. Obviously, similar to the Fargo-Moorhead community with the rapid growth. And a lot of it does come down to several factors. Not having a state income tax is certainly attractive. Having more of a population center, at least in the Sioux Falls region, on the South Dakota side versus the Minnesota side of the river, it does seem to be an area where you have access to more potential customers, a favorable tax climate, and then also from a regulatory standpoint, just on a state level, it does seem to be a much friendlier place to do business. So we've still seen that continued strong growth.
Yeah, really good. What else? I'll just kind of throw an open-ended question here as we finish up here today, but what else are you hearing from your customers and your clients? What kind of topics are they talking about, thinking about? What's important on their minds right now as we get into maybe kind of transition out of the first quarter of 2026?
I guess one of the common themes we seem to hear is that mindset of, is the party over? As you know, we've seen very strong equity market returns the last several years. And there's always that mindset that at some point things have to level off and maybe decline. And I guess our stance on it has always been, we take a look at that. Markets are going to be forward-looking, and there's lots of reasons to be optimistic for it. But a main concern seems to be, is now maybe a time to take a step back? And I think that the appropriate view is to take a look at, rather than necessarily taking a step back in maybe your stock or equity positions, taking a look at your personal financial situation and determining if something should be warranted to make a change. If you've still got a long time horizon, there's no reason to make any significant changes. But if you're approaching retirement or getting to a point to where you might need some money sooner than later, now may be a good time with the recent appreciation to maybe look at doing some rebalancing.
It feels to me, Josh, I don't know anything, but it feels to me like the day that President Trump says we're bringing the troops home, I feel like the stock market just jumps hard and for a while. How about you?
Well, it certainly seems that way. I know when we take a look on a daily basis, we see a lot of that volatility where we might see the markets open lower and then end the day either less low or even slightly higher. It seems like there is a lot of pent-up momentum just waiting for something like that to come through. And so I think what we've seen as far as a sell-off, it's been very orderly compared to, when we saw the pandemic, the inflation concerns of 2022, or the Liberation Day tariff concerns last year. The market had very rapid, strong, quick sell-offs. This one's been a bit more orderly, kind of spread out. And so it does seem like it's a spring ready to go if you get some positive news.
Yeah, good stuff. Josh, thanks for the visit. Always great to get your perspective on these things. Thanks for the time today, and all the best to you, and happy Easter.
Yes, thank you, Steve. You as well.
Thanks so much. Josh Astrup, he's a guy that knows his stuff, and we're always glad to have his comments. Portfolio manager at First Premier Bank. When we come back, the video everybody's talking about, the builder walks into the Home Depot and sees what particle board is selling for and gets a big smile on his face. We'll talk about that next. Hey, we got a sale coming up Thursday on the big deals page at am1100theflag.com is from PXG Golf, and it's the final auction that we have in our set. There were three of them, had the driver putter combo, then the wedges, and now it's the set of irons. It's seven of the irons. My guess is it's like 3 through 9 here. And this is PXG Gen 8 irons. PXG is the Cadillac of golf clubs. The value is $1,660, but the bidding starts at only $250 Thursday at 7 o'clock. Find out more on the big deals page at our site, am1100theflag.com. Ouch. Just refreshed my screen on WTI crude prices. We are up since the show began today. We're now at 104.35. This is not good. I got one of those big SUVs with a monster tank on it. And no bueno for the gas prices here. You've got to go back to summer of 22 when WTI price hit like 120 for a little while to find the last time gas was this high. And, you know, previous to that, boy, you got to go back to, I don't know, 2014 or so, something like that. And just, you know, when you think about where we were, when was that? Just before Christmas, I think. We were in the mid-50s, and we were thinking, oh, man, are we going into the 40s here? And there's still some people out there that think that once this is all done, it's going to take a while. But we could be back into the 40s and 50s on oil prices again, because if we can free up Iran's supply a little bit more, along with Venezuela and what we're doing here, drill, baby, drill, that we may see 50s, 60s, maybe even 40s before too long. So what a crazy, I mean, just think about that jump that we had. We're going from 55 to 105. So basically doubled here in the last month and a half, something like that. All right. The most fun video I saw on the internet over the last 24 hours was nothing about UConn knocking out Duke in the tournament, although that was a good time, no doubt about that. But did you see, you might have seen this, because now it's been watched over 2 million times. It's a contractor going into a Home Depot store. I can't play the video for you because this is a good old boy who does not have very good and judicious choice of vocabulary. So there are a few F-bombs in this video, so I'll spare you from that. But the video is a 30-second chronicle of him walking into the Home Depot and saying, would you look at that? Because OSB, particle board, the big display on the end cap there, they are now selling particle board for under $10 a sheet. And he goes through what's happened in particle board over the last couple of years or so. And he said, if you remember this, anybody in any kind of construction knows what OSB used to sell for. It used to be more than $25 a sheet just after COVID. If you go back about a year ago, it was about $17 a sheet. Walk in today, $9.71. It dropped almost half price. And he says, boys, this is coming from Canada. Trump is working out those tariff deals and our lumber is getting cheaper. Prices are going down. I did not know this. Not that I would. I don't buy particle board on a regular basis, but I'm guessing a lot of you know about this. That, boy, buying that particle board a lot less expensive than it used to be. A big component, obviously, in construction. So that's some good news if you're building something this summer. Let's go to Fuller, and he joins us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good morning, Fuller. How are you?
Well, alive and well, and everlastingly grateful.
I love it. A
view on this short-term discomfort for long-term benefit. A first-grade teacher told me one time that she wanted four things from a first grader besides having him be able to tie his shoes.
Okay.
Follow directions, endure drudgery, accept responsibility, and delay gratification.
Oh, boy.
I said to her, I said, good grief, most adults can't do that.
You're right.
So I am entirely willing to endure a little bit of short-term pain to experience a certain amount of security. And freedom and security are blood brothers.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there's usually a little physical blood connecting them.
Yes.
The other day, O'Reilly had Bernie Goldberg on the horn, and while he's no particular Trump lover, he does have a working relationship with Truth. And he said that people are bitching right now because, there's no imminent threat from Iran. Well, if he had waited until there was, they'd rag on him for waiting so long.
Yeah.
So he says, it's a heads I win, tails you lose deal.
Yeah.
But I think that if we're going to experience a certain amount of latitude in our subsequent choices, that is what we can do with freedom, we've got to do a little something to ensure it in the meantime.
I'm with you. Here's what I would add to that, Fuller, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude to you, but we're running out of time. The only thing I would say to that is yes to everything you said, only if we finish the job. We cannot go over there and do two-thirds or three-quarters of that job, because they will repopulate and we will have gained nothing from doing this. I know it's going to be politically unpopular, but at this point, we've gone too far to come back without doing the whole job. That means getting all of those rats. So we got to finish it, and we cannot be weak as a country. All right. Thank you, Fuller. You have a good day, and thank you to all of you listening, my friends. Have a great day. Scotty's next. Keep on flying that flag.